W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate will extend its session before the holiday recess to negotiate the Ukraine funding supplemental bill that also includes U.S. border security provisions. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer calling on members to return Monday, he says, and expect a vote sometime next week.
That will give negotiators from the White House, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans, a time to work through the weekend in an effort to reach a framework agreement.
House lawmakers have already left for the holiday break. No word yet if they'll be called back. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan met with Israel's prime minister today, urging Israel to avoid civilian casualties in Gaza. The U.S. also pushing to free more hostages held by Hamas. During a reporter session today, Russia's leader Vladimir Putin confirming talks are ongoing with American partners on a possible prisoner swap involving Americans Paul Whelan and Evan Gerskovich. The U.S. says both are wrongly accused of spying. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Wisconsin next Wednesday to talk about his economic policy plans and highlight recent small business gains. It's not clear exactly where the president will be in Milwaukee or for how long. Many held their noses to do it, but University of Wisconsin regents have now approved a deal to trade raises for employees for cutting back diversity efforts. Angela Adams was not one of them.
I did not join this board to be thrust into political gamesmanship. DEI is not something that we should be exchanging.
It's the same deal regents rejected last weekend. Those who flipped say workers need their raises and that diversity remains a key component to the system's strategic plan. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior Rotary Club is donating an ambulance full of supplies to Ukraine. According to a Northern News Now report, the Superior Rotary Club launched their campaign in September to send much-needed aid to Ukraine. They've joined with other Rotary Clubs across the world to provide the aid and raise $9,000 to purchase an ambulance from the United Kingdom National Health Service. The organization will continue to accept donations as well to provide more medical supplies. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has decided it will not hear a challenge to school choice in the state just yet. The lawsuit was filed by Kirk Bangstad, the owner of Minocqua Brewing. It claims that school choice violates the Wisconsin Constitution and hurts the state's public school system. The newly liberal court decided that the challenge to the school choice program must first go through the lower courts before they would rule on it. Supporters of school choice say ending it would hurt over 50,000 Wisconsin kids. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Who stole the game ball? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A funny thing happened last night at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks had just embarrassed the Pacers 140-126 in a game in which Giannis scored 64 points, the most ever by a Buck in a single game, surpassing Michael Redd's 57 points. Bally Sports Wisconsin. Giannis says after he went to the Pacers to keep the game ball as a souvenir.
I have the ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me. It feels like a brand new ball.
Next came a heated discussion outside the visitors' locker room, caught on camera. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle.
We always get the game ball. We were not thinking about Giannis's franchise record. So we grabbed the ball, and a couple of minutes later, my general manager got elbowed in the ribs.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
With your Hayward forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, slight chance of light rain. We'll see a low around 31 degrees. It'll be a little breezy out of the southwest. For your Friday, some rain with a high near 39. For Saturday, rain is likely, possibly mixing with snow, and a high again near 39 degrees. Right now, it's 49.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live from Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to go to the National Defense Authorization Act. Remember, there are 12 bills that need to be passed to fully fund the government. This is one of the most important ones. Funds our military, for one thing. It had gone back and forth. The House had filled it with poison pills. It wanted an end to the Pentagon policy that if you are a servicewoman in a state that does not commit abortion and you need one, they will make sure you can get to a state that has it. And why is that necessary? Because Oklahoma, you know, bases in Oklahoma, their bases in Texas, their bases in Alabama, bases in Florida. In fact, a lot of our bases are in southern states, largely because of weather and largely because of proximity to ports. We're not going to get any big base anytime soon in Wisconsin. You know, what are our ports? There's Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, Green Bay. It's great, but doesn't hack it in any event. All these poison pills. The Senate then passed a bill and stripped it of the poison pills. Flat out stripped it, at least most of the poison pills. Went back to the House. Mike Johnson, you saw the handwriting on the wall. The House passed it, and now it's going to Joe Biden, and we're at least okay on the military. What are some of its component parts? And there's one in particular that I think is terrific. Hadn't occurred to me that they would have the votes to pass it, but it did. First of all, it provides a 5.2% raise for the troops, for all military personnel. That's very, very welcome. I remember when I was in the Navy, back, I think it was in 1971 and 72, and Richard Nixon was up for re-election, and he decided to put in a pay raise for the military. They always try to do it before a general election. And back then, it was only a couple of percent, but it's very welcome because I was an ensign back in 1971, and an ensign back then made $350 a month, so you get a few bucks. It was very welcome. Very, very welcome. It passed the Senate 87 to 13. That is overwhelming. The 13, you know, you have some real sociopaths there. I mean, you have Hawley. You have people like Cruz. I mean, I don't know how Ron Johnson voted on this thing. But to get 87 senators to do anything is incredible. It's amazing. But they did it. I'd like to see 87 of them say, yeah, we should promote the 11 and 4 stars, admirals and generals, and the Defense Department people so that we have leadership in the Pacific, air and naval And our Northern Command, which protects the United States, incidentally, and Canada. And how about at the Red Sea in the Gulf? And how about the commanding officer of the Fifth Fleet? It'd be real nice if 87 of them would do that too. But here is what they did, and it was very, very welcome. Then it went to the House. The House had passed 310 to 118. Even though the Republican House clowns, 221 of them voted to start an impeachment inquiry on Joe Biden. But many of the clowns then realized, yeah, well, Trump forced us to do that. But if we don't pay our military, we don't continue to construct nuclear submarines and arm our military and buy things like guns, for instance, bullets, for instance, ammunition, for these idiots. In any event, 310 to 118. No pills, but it extended a few things. One is it extended the surveillance program and the surveillance bill for 4 months, because that was going to expire December 31st. And, you know, today is December 14. So in 2.5 weeks, it was going to expire. That permits the government to listen in without a warrant overseas on discussions that foreign nationals have about attacking the United States. Terrorists, in other words. People like Hamas and ISIS. Those kinds of folks. To be very candid with you, if I were a judge, I don't think they need a warrant to do anything like that overseas. Why do I say that? The Constitution does not apply to anybody overseas. You know, you hear people say, well, I have a right to come into the United States because of this right and that right. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. There's a guy, there's a law now that says, if you are coming into the United States with a laptop, the TSA can search it. And if you don't agree, you can't come into the United States. And this is for non-citizens. In other words, people from foreign countries. Guy said, I have a Fourth Amendment right not to have it searched without a warrant. Court said, I'll tell you what, you're not an American citizen, you're overseas, you got no rights, get out of here. There's another one, some guys came up from El Salvador, wanted to get in the United States, and they had gang tattoos on their arms. They said, no, you're rejected, and they threw them out. They said, well, no, we have First Amendment right. This is art. We just put art on our arms. The court said, you don't have any First Amendment rights. You have no rights because you're not an American citizen and you're in another country. So that's why when they talk about people being discriminated against on immigration, all that, it's a lot of baloney. Until you are a citizen or are lawfully on these shores, then you get some protection, but not before. And so, but in any event, they extended the Surveillance Act because the concern had been, well, sometimes they're plotting their terrorist attack on the United States. Yeah, it's overseas, but somebody on the conversation is an American citizen. So to make sure that you're free of all these things, they said, yeah, we're going to extend it for 4 months. That means the end of April it expires unless somebody does something very quick. And we're going to talk some more, but first I'm going to go to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Medicare Advantage is a ripoff, as Mark Polkett says. And the thing is, I think it shifted like from 13 years to 8 or 5, how long it lasted after the Trump administration managed to get this Medicare Advantage ripoff through. And they allowed to cherry pick on Medicare Advantage, and they're able to not cover you as well and things like that. I guess they escaped some of the Obamacare protections that went into that law with the Medicare Advantage law. It just seems like that is making the funds run out way ahead of schedule because
let me jump on that. Even though it's not on topic, it's a very important issue, Bob. Thanks for raising it. A Medicare Advantage, I would not ever subscribe to it. It's a bad thing. It is draining money. It does not have the same protections, but they hire very famous people, actors, this one and that one. People fall for it. They'll say, you have no premiums and you'll get this, that, and the other. Don't go with Medicare Advantage. That would be my advice. Thanks very much for calling. There are two other things in the National Defense Authorization Act that have been extended, or at least one, and one that's new, and they're both good. They extended the Ukraine Security Assistance Program. Now, what that means is two things. That means that through 2027, it says, it is the policy of the United States to provide financial security for Ukraine in their fight against Russia. So that is the baseline federal authority. Second, it provided $300 million to Ukraine in 2024 and 2025. Now, that's nowhere near enough, but it's an example. And that means that when we argue about Biden's bill for full support for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the border to keep to get that under control, there's a federal basis for it. The provision that I was delighted to see, and I didn't think they'd have the votes to put it in. And by the way, this bill is 3,100 pages long. And the Republican caucus had said, well, we don't want any bill voted on till we can read it and blah, blah, blah. Johnson blew all that off. He felt a lot of pressure and he just caved. And I'm glad he did. He should have. And it passed. But the one provision that is terrific is it prohibits any president from pulling us out of NATO. NATO. They have to give, I think it's 6 months notice if they want that. And they can't pull us out, and they can't denounce it. The word denounce is in there. This is directed at Trump. And if they want to pull us out, they have to put it in a proposal as a bill or a resolution, and it either requires two-thirds of the Senate to approve it, which will never happen, or an act of Congress, which means a majority in the House and the Senate, and the president signing it. What it does do, a guy like Trump, who is pro-Russian, he's pro-Putin. He's frankly been bribed by Putin. He's being blackmailed by Putin because of his conduct in the Moscow hotel room. And his own son, Eric Trump, said, we get our financing from Putin for the last 20 years because they went bankrupt so many times and nobody in their right mind lends them money. The oligarchs do, Putin does, and he has them on a leash. However, Trump could still hurt us immensely by not pulling us out, but just bad-mouthing it all the time, saying good things about Putin all the time, not giving Zelensky any aid or vetoing it, and then saying, we're not going to invoke Article 5. If they invoke it, we have discretion, I as commander-in-chief, on how to respond, and I'm not going to send him beans. He could do even under this bill. In other words, he could weaken it by appearance, even though he can't pull us out. So this is a good start, but it also says he can't denounce it. If he denounces NATO, that's an impeachable offense. And if I were in Congress, I'd be the first one to bring articles of impeachment for his doing that. Coming up, the Manhattan courthouse, Judge Erdogan had to be evacuated. I'll tell you why.
Go tell that long tongue liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZA.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability.
I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the courthouse had to be evacuated in Manhattan. Remember the Trump trial? Judge Erdogan. Remember Letitia James? Letitia James got summary judgment against Trump, what Erdogan is coming up with, and it was no jury. That was Trump's election. You can't deny him a jury if he wants one. He was so bad and he committed so many crimes, even though this is a civil trial, so many frauds, that he figured a judge would be able to see the beauty of his defense, that somehow he hadn't really done it. Well, they picked the wrong guy, especially when Trump has for months attacked his law clerk and lied about her, attacked, I'm not kidding, Judge Erdogan's wife. You know, that's not a good tactic if you are in a trial, especially a bench trial. However, Trump has plenty of supporters. I assume this was a supporter. Here's what happened. A clown set off a couple of fire extinguishers. He started to burn some papers on one of the floors. We don't know yet what kind of papers. And then he's just started grabbing fire extinguishers off the wall and starting activating them. You know, you don't know. I mean, you don't know if the guy's a gun. You don't know what's going on. So they evacuated the courthouse and they evacuated Judge Erdogan. So they have to go out on the street or go somewhere else. And finally they arrest the guy and carry the nut off, but search the courthouse and then they come back in. But you see, that's the kind of thing. What's going on now is what I would call extra legal, extrajudicial things to try to benefit Trump. If and when he goes to trial in front of Tanya Chutkan, I would not put it past his supporters to do any physical disruption you can imagine to slow it down. The key thing to understand about Donald Trump is he is outside the rule of law, and I mean thoroughly outside the rule of law, including his supporters will make death threats. He will personally attack and encourage threats against the judges and prosecutors and litigation he's involved in. He sat chuckling and chortling in the White House, watching on television the insurrection unfold, watching it on television. And when people called and told them to shut it down, he didn't. And Kevin McCarthy called and he'd make wisecracks like, well, Kevin, maybe they love the country more than you do. What, they love it enough to go up there and five people get killed? Is that what you mean? That's exactly what he meant. And then he said that he was going to get rid of the metal detectors at his rally. And somebody said, well, wait a minute, some of these people have guns. And he said, yeah, but they didn't bring him to turn them on me. What president would advocate letting people take guns up to the Capitol, and some of them did, in the hope that they would kill a congressman? That is so treasonous. That is so treasonous. It's a felony, for one thing. But I can't conceive of any president of either party since George Washington took the office in 1788, that would do that. And then when he fingered Pence, and then his supporters shouted, hang Mike Pence. And by the way, that wasn't the first time that he fingered Pence. His supporters built those gallows. The one thing that puzzles the heck out of me is why there hasn't been more inquiry in, like, who are the carpenters that did it? Who are the people that put it together? Who told them to do it? Who paid them to do it? Who transported the gallows to the Capitol grounds? Trump knew there were gallows. That was on television. You could see it. What Trump has done, this business of a nut in Manhattan activating fire extinguishers and burning things, that's the degree of insanity and, frankly, of loyalty in some of his base that he's inspired. And I would not rule it out in upcoming trials. I got to share one thing. This is terrific. Five members of the Republican National Committee's 16-member Youth Advisory Council resigned just now. But I want to read what they said, because if I said it, you'd think, okay, Matt says it, but wait till this. This is what they said. These are five members, elected Republicans, of 16-member Youth Advisory Council. Quote, we resign as a result of a lack of organization, lack of tangible goals and benchmarks, and general lack of vision. We have not been updated on any efforts employed by the RNC, if any exist at all, to reach young voters. The council is nothing more than another failed fundraising ploy. This is verbatim from five elected Republican officials who appointed the Youth Advisory Council, all millennials or Gen Zers. They go on, we refuse to be used as shiny objects in the solicitation of funds. No work is being done. We want to expose our lack of confidence in the RNC's ability to win over and mobilize young voters. The advisory committee is just a PR stunt that the RNC could use to mislead donors. The advisory council is based on a lie that the RNC actually wants to reach young people or knows how to reach young people. It's very disappointing to see the RNC's incompetence up close and personal. That's a direct quotation from five people who are younger, or if you consider a millennial or a Gen Z or younger, and who are also elected Republican officials in their own states. That is what they said about their own Republican National Committee. Their outreach to the youth is a fraud. It's a lie. It's incompetent. The RNC doesn't even want to reach out to them and doesn't know. They will do everything in their power to prevent young people from voting. And they don't cherry pick, you know, they don't go like, well, at least let's try to identify Republican young people. No, because they're in the demographic, because Biden, despite the polls now, is going to get a vast majority of people under the age of 34. The textbook on their part is simply, let's put impediments for any of them to vote. Because if Biden's going to win them 60-40 or 65-35, if we keep them all from voting, we net out positively for us. So their youth outreach council, even their own people who are elected public officials and who are younger people, said it's a lie, we're shiny objects, they're trying to deceive donors. It's just a ploy. I mean, how bad is that? Seriously, how bad is that? And this is their own people. So you should know that. Anytime anybody says, oh, they want to get the youth, they don't want to get the youth. They want to throw the youth in the river. That's what they want to do. They want to throw the youth in the river. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and Judge Tanya Chutkan pauses the criminal case of Jack Smith in Washington, D.C.
All the time, I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're
from Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. All of Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans voted for the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. The vote yesterday merely extends the House investigation into President Biden. It does not impeach him or remove him from office. State lawmakers are considering keeping athletes transitioning from male to female out of girls' and women's high school and college sports in Wisconsin. Two such bills got a committee hearing yesterday. Democratic Senator Tim Carpenter is openly gay and says the rhetoric sounds familiar.
A lot of people in my community have been marginalized for such a long time. The things that transgender people are going through today are the things we went through in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Governor Evers says he'll veto any bill he feels discriminates against LGBTQ plus Wisconsinites. I'm Terry Bell. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior Rotary Club is donating an ambulance full of supplies to Ukraine. According to a Northern News Now report, the Superior Rotary Club launched their campaign in September to send much-needed aid to Ukraine. They've joined with other Rotary clubs across the world to provide the aid and raise $9,000 to purchase an ambulance from the United Kingdom National Health Service. The organization will continue to accept donations as well to provide more medical supplies. After narrowly rejecting the proposal over the weekend, the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents has now approved a deal with Republican legislators. The deal will limit diversity positions in the university system in exchange for the release of already approved pay raises and money for construction projects. Critics of the deal say the Universities of Wisconsin traded minority and LGBTQ plus interests for money. The second vote was scheduled after a closed-door meeting led by UW President Jay Rothman. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Who stole the game ball?
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A funny thing happened last night at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks had just embarrassed the Pacers 140-126 in a game in which Giannis scored 64 points, the most ever by a Buck in a single game, surpassing Michael Redd's 57 points. Bally Sports, Wisconsin. Giannis says after he went to the Pacers to keep the game ball as a souvenir.
I have a ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me. It feels like a brand new ball.
Next came a heated discussion outside the visitors' locker room, caught on camera. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle.
We always get the game ball. We were not thinking about Giannis's franchise record. So we grabbed the ball, and a couple of minutes later, my general manager got elbowed in the ribs.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your Hayward forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, slight chance of light rain. We'll see a low around 31 degrees. It'll be a little breezy out of the southwest. For your Friday, some rain with a high near 39. For Saturday, rain is likely, possibly mixing with snow, and a high again near 39 degrees. Right now, it's 49.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit BugTussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Todd or Billy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Good afternoon, Matt. All I've got to say is stay young at heart, vote Democrat.
Well, that was the shortest call I've ever had. Stay young at heart, vote Democrat. That's right. But that is kind of an incredible thing that five members of the 16-member council is almost a third of them. And these council members are all millennial or Gen Zers who are elected officials. And they're very candid. And they don't have a lot of scars on their hide, and they haven't learned to suck it up and kind of suck up to anybody. And they go, we're being handled as shiny objects to hoodwink donors, and we're not going to do it anymore. They don't know what they're doing. Not only don't they know how to attract young people, they don't want to attract young people. I mean, what a great message. You know, they go to the young Republicans and, oh my God. Well, I want to talk about Tanya Chutkan, a great judge. She's presiding over the Jack Smith prosecutor case against Trump in Washington, D.C., but she has just paused. In other words, she has basically put on hold the trial. The trial is set for March 4. Now, it's not so much the trial. The reason for it is that Trump used an appeal and he waited till fairly late in the game. This is all tactical. He brought an appeal so that he had judicial immunity to do what? To launch an insurrection, get five people killed that day, more later, 140 cops out on medical leave, one cop with his head crushed, another one almost trampled to death. That was, what, immunity because he's president? I don't think so. There's no immunity for a criminal offense. So it's a fake, but, you know, he could have done it early on, but he didn't. He lay in the weeds, and now he's doing, it's almost January, the election, the trial's March 4, and what he's hoping to do, what he was hoping to do anyway, till Jack Smith did something very clever, what he's hoping to do is have it go up to the Court of Appeals. They take a couple of months to read the briefs. They go, no, you don't have it. Then you go to the Supreme Court. They take a couple of months. They'd hear oral argument next October, and then two months after the general election, they'd issue a decision. Jack Smith circumvented that. Jack Smith jumped in, and he asked the Supreme Court to take it directly, bypassing the Court of Appeals, and to take it on an expedited basis. Now, the Supreme Court agreed, so they are going to do that, but there's no guarantee what they're going to do or how quickly they're going to do it. They could come down and say he does have immunity. They are six tarantulas. They're in his corner. Or they could say, okay, we want briefing, 30 days each. And, you know, by the time you get him, the briefs are in with the reply brief in May or June, and we'll set it for argument in September, because they go away for the summer. They don't work over the summer. From July 1 to basically September, all of July and August, they vamoose. They don't work. And so they may be trying in a sneaky backdoor way to get him out of the trial. What Tanya Chutkan did, now she and Jack Smith agree that she had to. I'm not sure she did have to. Let me give you an example. He went to her, said, I have immunity. I was president. She said, baloney, ruled against him. He then appeals. Now it's going to the Supreme Court. Well, what happens, for instance, in a criminal, this is a criminal case, say a murderer, and the day before the murder trial is to start, he brings an appeal on some obscure point of law that is clearly, clearly frivolous. Do they go, okay, well, we won't put you to trial then tomorrow, and we'll wait 6 months or a year to address your frivolity? And no, that wouldn't happen. Here, I think what it is the notoriety of the case, the fame of the defendant, which is Trump, the fact that there's a campaign going on, and in the polls in the Republican primary anyway, he looks like he's ahead of the others. There's nothing I do not believe that Tanya Chutkan was constrained by in just keeping going. I've not read the Supreme Court opinion, or really a minute order, that said, yeah, we'll take it. There may be a line in there that says everything stayed until we take it. If it is, yeah, then she has to obey that. But there's nothing like that in there. She could proceed, and then he'd have to go to the Supreme Court and ask for a stay pending the appeal. Jack Smith has argued to her right now that she can go ahead and handle other motions and do everything, and we'll see when March 4 comes along where we are on this. Don't remove the date. So she did not move the date. March 4 is still the date, but that assumes that the Supreme Court comes back in a week or two or a month and says, nah, there's no immunity. That means they'd have to have an expedited briefing schedule. Usually, each side gets 30 days and there's 15 for a reply brief. That's true of the Court of Appeals, Seventh Circuit. Supreme Court, it can be longer or less, but, you know, that's going to chew it up into the spring. Do you see what he's doing, Trump? What he is doing is using the appearance of law to commit crimes. In other words, he committed a crime in the insurrection. He's using delay, the appearance of law, by using delay to get, put this thing beyond the election. And if he wins, God forbid, his new attorney general will fire Jack Smith and put in a motion to dismiss the case against him. That's what Barr did. Roger Stone and people like that. I mean, they just interfered with the federal criminal process. And what, everybody yawns? Everybody yawns, Fox and the rest, oh, that's okay. If the Democrats did that, and quite frankly, if I were Biden, instead of permitting special counsels for Hunter Biden, and instead of bending over backwards, Jack Smith filing the classified documents case, knowing that it would probably end up with Mercedes down there, who kneels in front of him to kiss the mistletoe on his belt buckle, he could have filed that in Washington, D.C. Tanya Chutkan or somebody like that would have it, and that thing would have been gone to trial. And if he'd also filed it earlier, Garland sat on it a little bit. All right, I understand all that. Nothing's perfect. But you should know that the trial in, or the case, I should say, in Washington has been paused. Now, everything's going to depend on the next 30, 60 days. If the Supreme Court, if the tarantulas are using the effect of a pocket veto, effectively helping him, just like Mercedes is doing down in Mar-a-Lago, taking forever to decide trivial things, and then chewing out the prosecutor, is no doubt in my mind that she's going to delay that case beyond November. No doubt in my mind. She is functioning as Trump's lawyer. You know, the Supreme Court are tarantulas, several are bribed, but are they Trump's lawyers? Or are they going to, through the back door, just smirk and say, well, this is complicated, we'll deal with it this fall? So stay tuned. We do not know. We do not know. I know that Tanya Chutkan is a stand-up person. I think she's very, very good. And I think she'll do everything she can. And Jack Smith is terrific. Well, speaking of miscreants, Ron Johnson and Eric Schmidt, he's the guy who's the senator from Missouri that's holding up 5 military promotions. Tuberville is holding up 11, plus all of the promotions in the Defense Department that are civilian, all of them. So we are now somewhat handicapped in the Middle East and the Pacific, because those are the ones that were up, and they're sitting on them. They're sitting on them to injure the United States, and they think injure Joe Biden. That's the Republican Party doing that. The two of them appeared on Laura Ingraham's show. Or England, so And Ron Johnson, the Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, accused Joe Biden of creating a game plan to deliberately destroy America. That's right. That's right. That was Ron Johnson, who just got reelected in Wisconsin. The clown goes on the Laura Ingraham show, says Joe Biden has deliberately created a game plan to deliberately destroy America. What he has done, this is from Johnson, has led to the intentional ruin of our country. Laura Ingraham, and this is something that Johnson wished he had not, she had not done, posted it on X, formerly Twitter. The internet erupted to blast Johnson. One posted on the internet, quote, "If Ron Johnson said it, the truth must be the exact opposite." Another one. "This is coming from Ron Johnson, who spent July 4th in Moscow in 2018, Manchurian candidate." They're talking about our senator. This is another one. "Nothing new from Moscow, Ron." Nothing new from Moscow, Ron. Another one. "Johnson is an evil dog." Johnson's an evil dog. Another one. "Johnson is a Putin puppet. So it's quite apparent he'd rather rally for Putin." They get it, but the campaign that the Democrats ran against Johnson didn't have anything about Putin, about Russia, about any of this stuff, about betraying us, about attacking the CIA and the FBI. And he slipped in, and he'll be there for five more years. Karina from Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Karina, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for a great show. Always so much information needed, information and the views. I know that you're talking about something different, but it is about Wisconsin and education, because it does bother me, and you know that in the and as bad as it is, for maybe different reasons, in the Soviet Union, we always valued education, you know, and it's important. And there's a reason why government invests in educating their population. And there is a reason why the Republicans fighting so hard for the past 15 years to wipe off the education from Wisconsin State. Why in the world they would sit down to negotiate right now, UWM system, I mean, when our governor is in the court to solve this problem? I don't get it. I really don't, Matt. If you go as a lawyer or as a representative for me, for my case in court, I wouldn't go behind your back to negotiate with an opponent. It's like, no, right?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, no. Let me respond to that. That's a very good point. I'm certain that Governor Evers met with the Regents and approved it, because they would not do that without his knowledge and approval, number one. Number two, even when he wins the case, that's the raises, but there's the engineering building. There are a lot of other things in this. And he decided, rather than wait a long time, because the judges take a long time to decide a case, they really do, putting the raises on hold for, you know, 6 months or longer, and then maybe he doesn't win. I think he's going to win, but what if he doesn't win? And then no engineering bill. I think that's why he did it. I don't like what they did at all. And if that's the pattern for where to, we're going to have to draw a line in the sand. Draw a line in the sand. Coming up, Judge Engoron's gag order against Trump has been upheld on appeal. Not just stepping stone, not just stepping
stone, not just stepping stone, not just... The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Revealed. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to the...
Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Mad Fun Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the appellate court in New York has upheld Judge Engoron's gag order against Trump. Remember, Trump felt that he could lie about and defame Judge Engoron's law clerk, subjecting her to death threats. Single, I don't know if she's a single woman, but she's not making a heck of a lot of money. And in New York City, having to leave that courthouse to take the subway at home. And he sadistically attacked her and lied, said she was Senator Schumer's girlfriend. That's false. Senator Schumer is a senator from New York, majority leader. And she was at an event for him and in a group that took a picture with him. That happens all the time with, you know, the governor, the senator, they'll take pictures with people. And he lied about her, threatened her, and she got death threats. He lied about Judge Engoron, lied about Judge Engoron's wife. In any event, Judge Engoron imposed a gag order that he could not identify or talk about the staff. That's his law clerk. He didn't protect himself, and he didn't protect anybody else. And Trump, all he wanted to do is delay. You understand that. So he went up to the Court of Appeals and said, well, that my First Amendment rights, I have the right to do that. I have the right to get the rabble that follow me to make death threats. And not everybody that follows him or votes for him is a rabble. They're just Americans who decide to vote for him. But there are some people who are a rabble, and they're the ones that make the death threats. Just like he's done to Fannie Willis, just like he's done to Jack Smith, Tonya Chutkan, and all the rest of them. So now he had better watch. If he does attack the law clerk, and especially when Judge Engoron comes down with a decision, because if he nails him for a couple hundred million dollars, Trump is full of bull about his net worth. I mean, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, but he does have some net worth, and this could be a significant chunk out of him and the dismantling of his business empire in New York. If he shoots his mouth off again, Judge Engoron has said, you violate this gag order and there'll be very harsh consequences. So we've got to stand by for that. Stay tuned. Speaking of another sociopath, right now in Washington, D.C., jurors are deliberating damages in Rudy Giuliani's case. Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman were great in testimony of the January 6th committee. And they said their lives are ruined. Their reputations are ruined. Shea Moss said, I'm afraid to go to the store. People look at me. They've made death threats. They've used the N-word many, many times to me. And she testified that the people that Trump had sent, that Giuliani had sent, had told her that what she did was treason, rigging votes, and a felony, and the penalty for felony for treason is death, and she could be hanged, and her mother, Ruby Freeman, could be hanged. So Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman said, well, we didn't rig the votes. You know, I've been working here for 8 years, for salary, and they made me supervisor of absentee ballots. And Ruby Freeman said, I just come in at election time to verify signatures. That's all I did. They told them they were lying and they could be hanged. That's Ku Klux Klan type stuff. Because black people in the 19th century and in the 20th century, up until and into the 1960s, were hanged. They were lynched. So there's got to be substantial damages here. The lawyer for Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman has asked the jury to award them each $24 million, which still won't begin to restore their lives. They would rather have no money, but have had no death threats and have their little business making purses back and have their jobs. They'd much rather have that. But that's for the defamation. But then there's pain and suffering and a lot of other things. Giuliani's lawyer, amazingly to me, got up and said, this would ruin Giuliani. Consider how good a man he is. Oh, really? He's a good man because these women were threatened with lynching if they didn't do what Giuliani and Trump wanted. So therefore, these are good. No, they're not good men. And they're prominent, I mean, in terms of name recognition, but there's nothing good about that, nothing admirable about that. And the jury's deliberating. It went to the jury. In other words, they were closing arguments, and I don't know if the judge will tell them to come back tomorrow and start deliberations or do a little in the evening. It's up to the judge. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of damages come down. It'll be interesting to see, quite frankly, in Engoron's case in New York, Letitia James, what damages he assigns. Trump repeated what he said before, but he did it on a very inauspicious day. This is economics. The Dow Jones just hit a record, 37,090. That's unbelievable, the Dow Jones. I mean, the Dow Jones back in the 1970s was at 1,000. It took something like 10 years to bust 1,000. Because from the end of the Vietnam War till the end of Jimmy Carter's term, is 1,000. Now it's 37,000. There's during the boom in the late 90s, there's a book called Dow 20,000. That's like flying to the moon. Now it's 37,000. This is under Joe Biden. Everybody's making money. Trump gets up on his hind legs and said, if you reelect Joe Biden, we'll have a depression. He just says it like that. And, you know, a handful of people on Fox and, you know, on Twitter and all that kind of thing, on X, go, oh, yeah, there'll be a depression. There will be a depression when Republicans get back in. The depression starting in 1929 was Herbert Hoover, the Republican. The downturn back in 02 was George W. Bush. That's a very, very good way to get a depression, which is to elect a Republican. So he also forgot to say that of all the jobs created since 1989, under Democrats, 98% of them were created. Clinton and Obama, 33 million. Biden in 3 years by himself, 14 million. Both Bushes and Trump, 1.9 million. And even though, as I've said before, presidents don't actually create the job, they create the economy, they create the public policy that creates the jobs. Coming to the end of the show, great show as always. Stand by for Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate. Matt Flynn back, same time, same place tomorrow.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC